Holy Gospel according to Luke in the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But love your enemies, do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Joseph said to his brothers, "Do not be afraid. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. I believe that we are all on a spiritual journey, whether we are fully aware of it or not. I didn't know that I was on a spiritual journey as I was growing up. When I was a teenager, I was pretty independent. I chose my church, I had a job, and I made my own decisions about my future vocation and the education track I needed to take. Neither parents nor family advised me or guided me. I was unaware that God had a hand in guiding me. What I didn't know was that when I was baptized as a small baby by Pastor Bob Biegner, that I was starting out on a spiritual journey guided by the Holy Spirit. The Lord put two key persons in my young life. One was a woman who sponsored the church youth group, and the other was the owner of the diner where I worked. They were like a mother and a father to me. I won't bore you with all the details of my spiritual journey, except to say that when I reflect on my journey, I can identify persons all along that journey who helped me to grow in my faith, and individuals of faith from whom I learned what I needed to know and do in order to accomplish God's purpose in my life. Have you reflected on your own spiritual journey and the steps of growth that deepened your faith? Have you found that God placed you in the right places at the right time to accomplish God's purpose through you? Have you discovered the precious truth that you were not in charge of your life, but all along the way, it was the Holy Spirit that was guiding you? This was Joseph's life experience. He was the 11th son of Jacob, and Jacob loved his son, and he showered Joseph with special gifts, most notably a coat with long sleeves. And Joseph had dreams. He learned from these dreams that he would rise to power and become a respected leader of a nation. Unfortunately, his brothers did not appreciate his dreams, and in their jealousy and enmity, they secretly sold him into slavery. Joseph was taken to Egypt, where he was sold to one of the wealthiest Egyptians in the land. Joseph excelled in his work, but another act of treachery resulted in Joseph's imprisonment. And while in prison, he successfully interpreted the dreams of other prisoners and eventually was asked by Pharaoh to interpret his own troubling dreams. This is the point at which I identify with Joseph. He was not intimidated by Pharaoh, but spoke right up, predicting 7 years of bountiful harvests, followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph was a lowly foreigner, an immigrant, and not an Egyptian. He was in prison, yet he boldly interpreted Pharaoh's dream and advised him to appoint someone to manage his harvest. And Pharaoh chose to appoint Joseph as his prime minister. After graduating from seminary, I was called to pastor two Black Lutheran congregations, one in St. Louis and one in Detroit. While I thought I knew what I was doing, I have since realized how naive I was. And it was only through the work of the Holy Spirit that meaningful ministry was accomplished. When I went to Chicago, I felt like Joseph, unimportant and beaten up. But the Holy Spirit guided my footsteps to an old Swedish congregation. Together with the members, we redefined the mission of the congregation. We helped our synod to stand publicly with Palestinian Lutherans in the face of Israel's oppression. We successfully challenged the synod's exclusion of GLBTIA Christians from full church participation by opening our doors to these neighbors who had been excluded in the past. And the Holy Spirit encouraged us to see participation in the local community organization as a part of our mission. I remember leading a neighborhood delegation to City Hall one time where we challenged Mayor Richard Daley to act on behalf of our community. These were not things that I had anticipated we would do as a congregation, but I believe the Holy Spirit made use of my presence and willingness to answer God's call. Joseph received his deceitful brothers when they came to him for help. He could have taken his revenge on these despicable brothers, but instead he forgave them, provided the grain they needed, and invited them to bring their families to Egypt. Once again, God used Joseph to accomplish God's purpose to preserve the people of God. Joseph said to his brothers, "Do not be afraid. Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today." How has God used you to show the abundance of God's grace and love for the church and for Pittsburgh? And how might God be calling you into service today? Surely we all stand before God, as Joseph's brothers stood before him, knowing we are entirely guilty of disobedience and deserving to be punished for our misdeeds and missteps. And with trembling hands and tears in our eyes, we bow ourselves before God and beg for forgiveness. God points to the cross of Calvary, the cross on which God's only Son gave his tortured, innocent life on our behalf. And God directs our eyes to look at the cross and recognize the unconditional, limitless love and forgiveness of God. Undeserving, we begin to utter a song of praise as we shield our eyes from the brightness of the sun that rises from the empty tomb. The crucified one stands before us with open arms to embrace us and to speak words of reassurance in the same way Joseph did with his brothers. Thank you, God, for leading us, protecting us, teaching us, and finally bringing us to this moment of redemption. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.